from today's epistle. Brethren, we give thanks to God always for you all, continually making a remembrance of you in our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, two words come strongly to my mind as we reflect upon the epistle and the gospel for today. There are two words that begin with the same two first letters, gratitude and growth. And so I'd like to reflect upon both of these. And of course, this is a time of gratitude for us. We say Thanksgiving Day as a national observance. But remember, you always have to have thanksgiving to somebody. You can't have gratitude or thanksgiving just as a standalone sentiment, because it has to have an object. To whom are you giving thanks? Needless to say, it is to Almighty God, from whom all good things come, from whom all good things flow. And so our lives should be spent in a spirit of gratitude, because we owe so much to God. And our tendency is to take things for granted. There's, as a rule, not enough gratitude in our lives. So, as I said, any day is a good one to offer thanks to God. And we see today in the epistle, St. Paul thanking God for the Thessalonians. That's how we heard the beginning of today's extract. We give thanks to God always for you all. But St. Paul adds immediately to that the assurance of further prayer, because we also need to keep on asking, as St. Alphonsus Liguori says, many, many graces that we need for salvation will not be given unless we ask for them. And so St. Paul thanks and asks, thanks and asks. And really, that's the way our prayer life should be. We should thank and ask. This is an unusual epistle. I can't help but notice how St. Paul goes on to praise the Thessalonians. In very other few places do we see such an outpouring of praise. Usually it's, you're not doing this right, and you need to correct this, and you're sinning here. But today, St. Paul is not only thanking God for them, he's also praising them. But he's saying, remember, you only did it by the grace of God. Let me just reflect on this praise that he gives to the Thessalonians, because they responded so well to the gospel. He said, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. Isn't that very, very high praise? You're imitating me, and St. Paul speaking as the saint that he was, again, conscious that he still needed to thank God for everything that he had. And he said, you were also imitating Christ. Can that praise be given to you, my dearly beloved? Could St. Paul say to us, you are an imitator of the Lord. In your daily life, you show that you are a follower of Christ, that you are imitating his virtues. Again, he praised the Thessalonians collectively here, it seems, for their efforts at living Christ-like lives. And he reminds them, he said, you received the word in great tribulation. There are great sufferings to go through in order to become holy,
and to save our souls. So St. Paul's not neglecting to remind them of that, of the blessings that come through the tribulation.
He goes on to say, you became a pattern to all of the believers. Isn't this amazing high praise? In other words, St. Paul was saying to other people, look at the Thessalonians, see how they're living the faith, be like them. In every place, your faith in God has gone forth, so we need say nothing further. I'm just amazed at how St. Paul is just pouring out his praise, not so to bolster their egos, but ultimately to say, see all this spiritual growth that you've had. Let's thank God for it, because it's only by his grace that we can do that. A few Sundays ago in the summertime, I should say more than a few, we had the gospel of the 10 lepers. And that was a Sunday to reflect on gratitude. Only one came back to say thank you. They received the inestimable benefit of instant cure from leprosy. And back then, to contract leprosy meant to be consigned to a living death. And they were all cured. But I'd like to share some thoughts here on gratitude from meditation book. The want of gratitude of the nine lepers that were cured deprived them of health of soul, a grace immeasurably more precious than the health of the body. A few more thoughts here on gratitude. St. Bernard says, ingratitude is the enemy of the soul, the destroyer of merit and virtue, causing the loss of favors. It is a burning wind which dries up the fountain of piety, the dew of mercy, and the torrents of grace. Very strong words there on the problem with lack of gratitude from St. Bernard. Gratitude, on the contrary, attracts new graces and new gifts. It draws down upon souls the infinite liberality. But this gratitude should be sincere and cordial and should extend to all of God's gifts. This sincere gratitude flourishes only in a heart that is humble, convinced of its own poverty, and thoroughly aware that it is nothing and can do nothing without continual help from God. It is not impossible, in fact, to thank God with the lips, while in the heart one attributes graces received to one's own merits. And that's what the Pharisee was doing. I thank you, God, that I'm not like so many other people, and especially like that publican in the back. You see, pride and gratitude don't go along. True gratitude do not go along with pride. You have to have humility of heart for true gratitude to be present, because we know it's unmerited and undeserved what God gives to us, his goodness. Who can then express his gratitude for every Mass, for every communion, for every confession? Each one of these graces, even if renewed 1,000 times, finds his gratitude as lively and alert as if it were a question of an entirely new gift. So a great way to see things, not to take them for granted, but see each one as its own individual gift. And for that, we thank God. Let's go on to the other word for today, growth. Our Lord tells us of this law, let's call it a law, of growth. And to put it in another way, if something's not growing, it's dying. That's a fact of life. And Jesus tells us about the mustard seed, which is one of the tiniest seeds, but it can grow into a very large bush, even a tree, so that the birds of the air come and dwell in its branches. And so that is a very strong image of how it is with us. Well, we know it's that way with us physically. We started off in our mother's womb, very tiny, and we grew after birth into the, you know, those of us that are adults, to our full growth, and then children obviously are still growing. But our spiritual life is also that same way. It starts off small, but it needs to keep growing. As I said, if we're not growing, then we're going backwards. We're dying, even. And so let's ask ourselves, am I growing? Am I still confessing the same sins over and over and over and over again? If I am, I'm really not growing. We have to grow. That is what we are called to. The parable of the mustard seed emerges from the text of today's Mass. It is brief but rich in meaning. The kingdom of heaven is like that grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. And of course, it grows into that tree. But by the way, this is the way the church began. Very small, but grew tremendously over the centuries, despite great trials, tribulations, and we are indeed in one of the greatest ones because of the loss of faith and morals. But let's listen to these words. Jesus, its head and founder of this church, was born in a stable. He worked for the greater part of 30 years in a carpenter shop, and for only 3 years unfolded his mission to a poor people, preaching a doctrine so simple that all, even the unlettered, could understand. When Jesus left the earth, the church was established by an insignificant group of 12 men, gathered about a humble woman, Mary. But this first nucleus possessed so powerful a vitality that in a few years it spread into all the countries of the vast Roman Empire. The church, from a very tiny seed sown in the hearts of a virgin mother and of poor fishermen, became little by little through the centuries a gigantic tree extending its branches into all regions of the globe. The church is not merely a society of men, but of men who have for their head Jesus, the Son of God. The church is the whole Christ, the mystical body of Christ, those incorporated into him and forming one body with him. And so to love the church is to love Jesus. To work for the extension of the church is to work for the increase of the mystical body of Christ. So just some beautiful thoughts there on growth. And yes, as I said, there is so much attack upon this image of this, the church, if we use the imagery of the tree, heresy, sin, so many of these things have chopped away so many parts, wounded this tree. But one thing is absolutely true, this tree cannot die. It can suffer attacks upon it, but it will last until the end of time. But what can we do? Well, let us be healthy, growing members of the church. That's our contribution. We're part of the church. And the healthier each part is, the healthier overall the tree will be. So among our blessings and acts of gratitude at this time and throughout our years, thank you, dear God, for making me a Catholic, for giving me the gift of faith. Help me to keep growing individually so that I can make my contribution to the church on earth. And so, again, Thoughts of gratitude then, my dear brethren, I'll end with these words from Chesterton, in which he encourages us to live that life of gratitude. He says, gratitude is the highest form of thought. It's not the highest thought itself, but he calls it the highest form. And it implies, again, these other beautiful virtues on which we reflected today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.